You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Ladies and gents, welcome to All Things Covered. Coming from L.A. live. I'm in L.A. My guy Pat P. is in Arizona. Of course, waste management is a huge deal. Kicking off the golf season, he is there getting people fired up. But he will be here in LA with me by the end of the week, so we will give you guys shows together. But Pat P, it's a big week. Golf, it's a huge opportunity in golf, the week of golf. Of course, waste management, Super Bowl is here in LA. You see the backdrop. I'm down. I got the boats, I got the sunshine. It's a beautiful life out here. Man. Say it again.
I thought you was on a pier somewhere, man. I see all them sailboats behind you and stuff. Living a good life.
I mean, we over here at the marina. Yeah, living the good life. Feeling like a retired guy actually right now. I can't complain about anything. There's a lot to talk about when you talk about Minnesota Vikings, of course, NFL Super Bowl. But before we talk about Super Bowl, let's first quarter our show. For everybody who's been following our show, first quarter we love to kick off and show tribute and respect to Minnesota. So it's time for our school check-in. Big time news coming from Minnesota. Remember last week, Pat P, when we did our show, we thought Harbaugh might be the guy that will be the next head coach replacing Coach Zimmer. But no. He interviewed. They didn't give him an opportunity to become the head coach. They decided to go with Kevin O'Connell. Now, Kevin is the offensive coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams. He will assume that new role with Minnesota when the Super Bowl is over. But Pat P, how surprised, what was your reaction when you heard Harbaugh wasn't getting the job and the team was going with Kevin O'Connell as the next head coach?
My first reaction was, what happened? You know, like, what went down? Because all the fingers was pretty much pointing to, you know, Jim landing the job in Minnesota. So, you know, the first thoughts that came to my mind is what happened, you know, with the interviewing process, you know, what did they not like? Because like we talked about, he's the most qualified coach, you know, that was in position, you know, to be the next head coach. But, you know, obviously they end up going in a different direction, which I think, you know, that's pretty much what every team is doing nowadays, is going young, offensive-minded, guys that have a great relationship with younger players, that can relate to younger players, that can get the best out of them, because the old way is kind of, I won't say it's ran out, but old way is not it anymore. So these owners, and they try to make sure that they get coaches that can relate to these young players.
And you talked about going with an offensive minded coach last week. We both agreed we felt like they would go a different direction than when they brought on Mike Zimmer, who is a defensive minded coach. Why were you so confident that the team would definitely go offensive minded in regards to who the new head coach would be?
You know, Adam had an opportunity to talk about that meeting that he was in with the ownership. You know, I so happened to be in that meeting as well. And I kind of had a feeling that, you know, that's the route that they wanted to go.
Break down the meeting you're talking about, because, of course, you informed me about that meeting. But share with our viewers the actual meeting that you're referring to in regards about the next head coach.
Yeah, it was just a meeting with, you know, all the captains, all the guys, you know, leadership. And, you know, Mark just wanted to know, like, what, you know, what avenue, you know, just wanted to get our thoughts on, you know, what could we do to make this, you know, put it all into the basket right now? Like, what are some of the things that you guys think that can help that you think that can make us a better football team? And, you know, some of the guys, got some of their messages out, what they thought that was going to be good for the football team, what they thought, you know, what type of coaching style that they thought that they need to help us turn the corner, what type of coach that they feel that they need, that we needed to help us turn the corner. And, you know, it looks like they took all of those, you know, those were, you know, those replies, those comebacks to them, you know, and you know, they took it all in and took it and put it into, you know, their thought process when it came to hiring their new head coach. So it was for me, I was taken by surprise when I was invited to that meeting, because I'm like, damn, you know, I just got here. Obviously, I know I'm an older player, but, you know, I'm going to be a free agent.
You had the C on your jersey.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, like, it's still like when you that player, is no guarantees for me next year. So it's like,
exactly,
you know, why would you be in that meeting? You know what I mean? So it was a surprise for me. But at the same time, I looked at it as, you know, as like respect, you know, like they know what they have in the building, you know, so they want to. They respect what they have in me, and when I told my wife about it, I was like, you know, that was pretty cool for them to involve me in that meeting, and it was pretty special.
Yeah, and looking at Kevin O'Connell's numbers as a coach, he's 36 years old, very, very young, vibrant individual, second season as the Rams offensive coordinator. He has seven seasons of NFL coaching experience. He actually played the National Football League. He was a third-round draft pick, Pat P. I don't know if you were aware of this, yeah, by the New England Patriots in 2008. He played one season. Coaches that he's worked under include Sean McVay, Jay Gruden, Chip Kelly, and Mike Pettine. So he's been around the block, been around some established coaches. And clearly he's done a real good job offensively with the Rams. And if you look at, you know, guys that I mentioned that he's worked under, you know, successful coaches, clearly highlighted by Sean McVay, you know what I mean? So everyone is trying to get the next best thing offensively, and he's coming from that Sean McVay tree. You look at some other hot young coaches that have become head coaches as of late in the National Football League. Matt LaFleur, looking at the job he's done offensively with the Green Bay Packers, he's an offensive-minded head coach. Zach Taylor, currently coaching in the Super Bowl, offensive-minded head coach. So everyone is looking for the next great young offensive-minded guy, and hopefully the Minnesota Vikings has found that next guy. Last question for you before we transition to break, Pat P. Hiring Kevin O'Connell, how do you believe that will impact Kirk Cousins for 2022? Like, remaining with the Vikings, will this improve his potential? What do you think this does for Kirk Cousins?
You know, honestly, I know I you see a lot of trade talk, you see a lot of, you know, things out there, you know, around circulating, you know, Minnesota and trading Kirk Cousins. But if you look at it, to me, Kirk is like a Matthew Stafford. You know how I feel about Matthew Stafford. He's an underrated quarterback. Like, he might not go out there and put up 320 yards a game, but he's going to be efficient with his numbers. He's going to get the ball where the ball needs to be. He's not forcing any turnovers. He's going to be very smart with the ball. He's going to put together drives for you. And, you know, he has a strong arm to get the ball, to push the ball down the field. So,
yeah,
you know, unless you can get something really special for him, you know, why would you trade him? You know what I mean? Especially coming off the last 2 years in the past. You know, and I think, you know, with Kevin coming over, I think it'd be great for him, because you essentially will have the same quarterback, a quarterback that moves well off play action, a quarterback that moves well, you know, off bootlegs, you know, the quarterback that moves well off play actions, that really thrives off the play action. You have a good running back here. Everything is in place for him. So I think, honestly, you see where it goes the first year. I don't know Kirk's contract situation, but you see how it goes at first, and then you go from there. But in my opinion, I don't think he should be traded unless you can get something spectacular for him.
I'm right there with you. If you can't bring back in an elite-like guy at the quarterback position, ride with Captain Kirk, Kevin O'Connell, clearly took this job under the assumption that Kirk Cousins would be his quarterback. So I think he is okay with that. And just make it happen. Offensively, this is a well-rounded, established group. Two outstanding number one wide receivers. Cook, good outstanding running back. Hopefully, good tight end Irv Smith Jr., who missed basically the whole year. You know what I mean? Get healthy on the defensive side. You got you a playoff caliber team right now on paper. You know what I mean? Just got to put it on film. So I'm right there with you. And I think Minnesota, the Viking fans, clearly pipe Pat P. They're excited about the hire. They don't have any issues. Probably the majority don't have any issues with this hire. And hopefully he can kind of put together a nice staff that can really develop this team into being a competitor going forward in 2022. Well, you guys know what time it is. It's Super Bowl time, and we're here. I'm here out in L.A. Pat P. will be here in L.A. Towards the end of the week, and we're here to talk about this upcoming matchup. And the unique thing about Pat P., he played against both teams, so I know he has a very, very unique perspective in guarding elite offensive players that we will be seeing this Sunday. So right after the break, we'll tap into this outstanding matchup between the Rams and the Cincinnati Bengals. Super Bowl 56 coming your way.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to All Things Covered, coming to you live on CBS Sports HQ. If this is your first time checking me and Pat P out, you can follow our podcast anywhere where podcasts are found, or check us out on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Pat P is in Arizona. I'm in L.A. getting ready for this Super Bowl matchup. Pat P had the luxury of playing against both teams throughout the regular season. Let's highlight the home team in this ball game, which is the Cincinnati Bengals. Pat P, you got a lot of different LSU ties with the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's highlight the man in charge, Joe Cool Cigar Smoking Barrow. Right?
Yes,
the
sir.
First game you guys, that was the first, that was week one, right? If I'm not mistaken, you guys played against Cincinnati. Yeah, first game off an ACL injury that he sustained during his rookie campaign. 20 of 27, 261 yards, two touchdowns against you guys. And let's keep it real for guys that remember that ball game. It was a questionable fumble by Dalvin Cook that led to that victory for Cincinnati, but they won. But tell us a little bit about the game prep, game plan for Joe Burrow based on what you saw leading up to that week one matchup and how the experience was playing against him in week one.
Well, you know, we didn't have – obviously, we know what he was capable of, you know, going – I can't remember how many weeks he played up until getting injured against Washington in his rookie campaign. But we knew, you know, the accuracy he had. We knew how strong his arm was. And when we obviously game-planned for him, when we knew that Ja'Marr Chase was going to be in the lineup, we knew that those guys had a great connection coming from, you know, coming from college and leading up until that point to where Joe got injured. Like I said, we knew what he was capable of. So it wasn't nothing that, you know, we wasn't surprised by or we didn't, you know, have opportunity to study for because he put a lot of good stuff on tape already. But going into that game, he looked just like he did, you know, what he how he left off his rookie season, you know, was very poised in the pocket, making some great throws. And the call for me, the call of the game, I think it was fourth and one. It was fourth and one. And they, yes, yes, it was fourth and one. They hurry up to the offensive line. They let the play clock drain all the way down to about 10 seconds. So they act like they was in a panic. So we couldn't get lined up and see the right personnel. And they ran the old Sugar Honey Iced Tea play on us. And that was a hell of a call at that moment, because we was up, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or we was either up or
that was in overtime.
No, that wasn't overtime in that one.
That's the play there. You see, guys.
I think that was overtime.
That was overtime. That led to the field goal.
Exactly, led to the field goal. So, but that was a gutsy call for them to run that play fourth and one. But the way they was able to set it up, it was amazing. But it wasn't nothing that we saw in that game that Joe surprised us with. You know, like I said, the film that he put out there was amazing. And this year, continue to prove that.
Yeah. And when you look at young quarterbacks throughout your career, you've played against experienced guys, you played against young guys. How do you know a young quarterback has that it factor?
He's able to take his team down the field in crunch time. That's the it factor. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm okay. Like, I can care less what you do through quarter one through three. Like Tom Brady. Tom Brady might not have the best numbers in the game, but guess what? He's clutch in crunch time. So if you can win me ball games in crunch time when I really, really need you, that's the it factor.
Mm-hmm. And looking at the it factor when it comes to winning ball games straight up, or when it comes to winning ball games against the spread, he's proving your point to be accurate. 6-0 straight up ATS in the last six starts. Look at the completion percentage. Look at the yards per ball game. Unbelievable numbers, and it's no surprise they're currently getting ready to play in the Super Bowl. But with every good quarterback, you got to have a real good wide receiver. And that first ball game was Jamar's Chase rookie debut. 7 receptions for 101 yards, 1 touchdown. When I look at Jamar Chase, I love being able to give an NFL comp to younger guys. I see Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith was a guy who was strong at the point of attack. He was a hard tackle. He knew how to create separation. He knew how to attack angles. And he was a sure-handed guy, and he loved living in the end zone. And I see some of the same things coming from Jamar Chase. You saw him at LSU. You know a lot about Jamar Chase. What did you see from Jamar in that first ball game that ultimately led to him being one of the best young wide receivers in 2021?
You know, with that being the first week of the season, you know, I didn't get many opportunities in that game. You know, but having an opportunity to go up against some very strong, very fast, powerful, like he has the total package. To me, he has a great combination of a Julio Jones, as far as the combination with the speed and the power. And then he has a little bit of Dez Bryant having the opportunity to take it the distance after the catch, breaking tackles, taking a slant for 60 yards. Like, you don't see receivers doing that. So I think he has a great combination of both of those guys, because he has the size of Julio, but has the breakaway tackle ability of a Dez Bryant. So that's why I say that he's a combination of both of those receivers. But you know, having an opportunity to go up against him, you know, his rookie year, that first game in his rookie year, you can tell that, you know, he was going to be a guy that was going to be an emerging star in this league. You know, just like Justin, you know, those guys had great careers in college, and you know, I don't see anything different. As long as you get them with a solid quarterback that can get them the football, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, and talking about Justin Jefferson, of course, Jamar and Justin were wide receivers at college. That LSU offense now, as we continue to watch those guys grow in the National Football League, they might go down right now, no debate, as the best collegiate offense that we've ever seen, based on what they did collegiately on Saturdays. I mean, you know, you had that tug of war. You had that back and forth about was that the best team? Was that the best? I say it again. Ain't no tug of war.
It wasn't no tug of war. Ain't no quarterback in NCAA history did what Joe Burrow did. Joe Burrow is number one in NCAA history as far as completions. He threw for 5,000 yards.
But let me say something to you. I know your LSU bias are showing, and I'm okay with that. But Bryce Young, who just won the Heisman, his numbers wasn't far off from Joe Burrow.
They're not far off.
That was surprising.
Joe numbers.
Go look at Bryce Young's numbers, and you're going to be like, yo, I'm surprised to see how close Bryce Young was to Joe based on what he did. But listen, you got two outstanding wide receivers, all-pro-like wide receivers.
Alabama put up some big numbers throughout the whole year, so I wouldn't be surprised at all. It would just be sneaky. It wasn't as talked about as Joe's was throughout the year, put it that way.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, Bryce was unbelievably like special all year, but I feel like he got pub off. You know, I feel like the team got more pub than he did. Like what Joe did, week in and week out, for the LSU football team in 2019. Come on, man, it's hard. I mean, the dude was having. I think he had a game, bro. It was games where he had like three or four incompletions. Like, that's crazy.
There we have the numbers for you. Look at
65 and 6. Okay. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Hold on. He has 65 touchdowns. Is that a career stat?
Oh, that's in a season? That's what I'm telling you, man. Ain't nobody had no year like that, boy. Hey,
Looking at? I thought I saw closer numbers. Joe threw 65 touchdowns?
Hello.
I'm sorry.
Ain't nobody have a
those
career.
Those are total touchdowns. That's career, right?
No, that's that season, Mac. I'm saying he broke two records that year. He broke the completion record, the completion percentage, and the touchdown. The dude. That's why they call him
65 total touchdowns.
Joe. Burrow.
Nickname well earned. I tell you this much real quick before we transition. When I saw LSU play against Texas that Saturday night in 20, I think it was week two, man. When he did, that was like the opening to the college football world. Like, we got something special. Y'all better start paying attention.
And when I saw it, I was like, yes, sir. Here we go, LSU.
That
boys.
Night game? Hey, y'all finally got an update because, you know, y'all had that old iPhone offense for such a long time. Y'all finally got that new updated offense. You know, that old school offense, run left, run right, play action hit. I said, Ellis, you got an update. Yeah, y'all had that old iPhone, that iPhone 8 or 9. Now y'all finally got that 12 in the building.
But we were just brewing.
Check this out. Before we transition to break, you know both guys very, very well. You know Jamar Chase and you know Jalen Ramsey. And one would think Ramsey will see a lot of Jamar Chase this Sunday in Super Bowl 56 here out in L.A. How do you visualize that matchup playing out?
Man, it's going to be a great matchup. Like, it's going to be plays made on both ends. Like, it's going to be the Super Bowl. Like, it's going to be plays, like, guys going to be, I never played in the Super Bowl, but I got close to it before. But guys going to be juiced up like no other. So it's going to be plays. I expect plays to be made on both ends. You know, we know Jalen's going to be all over the field. He's going to be a nickelback. He's going to be on the left side. He's going to be on the right side. He's going to be in press. He's going to be in off. So it's going to be very intriguing to see, you know, how they're going to be able to, I guess, unsolve the puzzle, you know, because like I said, mm-hmm. he's going to be a little bit all over the field. And also seeing the creativity that the Bengals going to be able to create on offense as well, because obviously with Jamar being one of their big threat guys down the field, are you going to be able to get Higgins in the game? You know, we know Rams are not
Boyd
in the game. We know that the Rams are not stout in the running game, at least in the regular season. In the playoff, they have been much better. Are you going to be able to get Joe in the game, to be able to get other guys in, involved in the game plan to get, you know, Jamar his looks, you know? So is I'm very excited about this matchup. I'm excited about this game. Yeah, I can't wait to see what the outcome is going to be. I feel like both guys are going to have opportunity to make plays, and I can't wait to see what happens. What's up?
I know you already got your team you're rolling with for Sunday in mind. But hold, we gonna wait till the end of the week. We gonna wait till the end of the week before we reveal who we're rolling with. So if you guys been following the show, I hope you have. Pat P's been rolling with the underdog the entire postseason. Pat just gives his pick. I give my pick gambling related, but if you guys been following us and paying attention and watching us, if you've been just listening with Pat's winner week in and week out in the postseason, and if you happen to put some money on it, you guys would be smiling nicely. Yeah. So we're not going to do our revealing of who we're taking just yet, Pat P. So hold on. But right now we're going to toss the break. And when we come back from break, we're going to highlight the road team that's playing at home, which is the Los Angeles Rams.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back to All Things Covered, coming to you guys live on CBS Sports HQ. I'm out in LA. Pat P is out in Arizona. If you guys are checking us out for the very first time, you can follow our podcast anywhere where podcasts are found. Also, check us out on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. Guys, we just highlighted the Cincinnati Bengals. Pat P gave his perspective about Cincinnati, played against them in the first ball game of the season in 2021. He also had an opportunity to play against the Los Angeles Rams. And defensively, the Vikings did a real good job. They lost that ball game by 7 points. The score was 30-23. But overall, you guys did some dynamic things against Matthew Stafford. He didn't have the ideal Matthew Stafford-like numbers. 197 yards through the air, one touchdown, three interceptions. Pat P, how were you guys able to create those interceptions against a real established, experienced quarterback in Matthew Stafford?
I think we were able to get to him a lot in that game, as far as the defensive line getting in his face, forcing those ill-advised throws, forcing those untiming throws, not having him able to set his feet on certain throws. So I just think we had an opportunity to rattle him a lot in that game, kind of make those windows tight for him, have him move around in the pocket a lot, because one thing quarterbacks don't like, they don't like happy feet. They like to be settled and be able to have opportunity to deliver the ball on time. And, you know, that's what we were able to, we did a great job of making him comfortable in the pocket. You know, unfortunately, yeah, came up short in that ball game. But I thought on the defensive side of the ball, I thought we played outstanding, because we all know what the Rams can do on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. And one thing in that highlight, you guys were hitting him. He got hit a lot. And if you look at Matthew Stafford's numbers throughout 2021, the good games compared to the bad games, number-wise, he's been hit He's been tagged a lot, and you guys were able to do that. But leading into the season, you were so high on Matthew Stafford when you found out he was getting traded to the Los Angeles Rams, because you said talent-wise, we know what type of talent he is. But now being able to be around a more stable, structured offense, he would get a chance to show the world what type of player he can be. His postseason stats are 72. He's completing 72% of his passes, 6 touchdowns, 1 interception. He had 41 passing TDs this year. That ties a Rams single-season record. What have you seen from Matthew Stafford, I mean, the entire season, based on what he's been able to do for the Rams?
Being able to be around talent, you know what I mean? Not having to force feed Calvin Johnson the football, you know, because that just makes a quarterback predictable. You know, knowing you know, you got 81 out there, you have nobody else out there, you know, that can beat you. So you know where the ball is going. But like now, he can literally give the ball to anybody on the field. Who's ever suited up on that Rams officer on the opposite side of the football can get the football. And I think that's what's making him that much more special, because now he have options. He when he feel like, you know, if he need to bail out a throw, he don't have to heave it 60, 50 yards down the field to Calvin Johnson. He can just dunk it down to your running back, to Akers, you know, to Cooper Kupp, who's always in the flats. You got Odell. You got so many more weapons, so much more in your arsenal now, to where you don't have to put everything on your shoulders now. You just get the ball where it needs to be. Be a general at the quarterback position and just watch everything unfold. And that's what's been happening this year.
Yeah, and you talked about two guys. I mean, Cooper Kupp has been – he's been a terror. won the Triple Crown this year. Talk about how difficult it is to cover a guy like Cooper Kupp, who's usually in the slot, and he runs what we call a lot of option routes. You know, break down how difficult it is to cover someone who has an option of running either direction based on what he's seen from the defender. How difficult is that, Pat P?
You know, the Rams do a good job of not only putting him in position to be successful, but they do a great job of scheming him open. And when I say about scheming him open, they have him in a lot of stat formations to where he's going to run pick wheels, pick rub routes. He's going to run option routes. They do a great job of scheming Kuka open. And I think that's what separates him from a lot of the other receivers, is that the Rams, Sean McVay and Kevin, do a great job of getting him the ball in so many different creative ways. And I think that's what makes him so difficult, because you don't know how he's going to get the ball. He can get the ball on the screen. He can get the ball on a jet sweep. He can get the ball on the option route. He can even take the ball. He can even get the ball on the post corner. Like, he can run. He got so much stuff in his arsenal to where, you know, it's almost like he's unguardable. But if you watch enough film, like I do, you'll get enough telltales.
Well, fill us in a little bit. I mean, you had a luxury of playing against Cooper Kupp a lot and the Rams when you were in AZ. And we know you're a master of the game when it comes to studying film. Is there any little cool nuggets you can kind of give us? Because we're fans of the game. We're going to watch the game. You know what I mean? We might see Cooper Kupp line up in a stack alignment and be like, you know what Pat P told us? When Cooper Kupp gets in this formation, to kind of watch out for this route or that route. Is there any little insights based on what you've seen? And you played against the Rams that you can kind of help us with for Sunday?
Well, at least with one of them, anytime that Cooper Kupp was lined up with Odell never ran a 7 route. He always ran Cooper Kupp on the break.
Hold on, Pat P. Coach P, what is a 7 route? Gotta, you know, number wise, gotta actually break it down for some people who might not know what a 7.
7 route is basically a corner route. So 10 to 15 yard, you know, streaking route, and then he breaks off to the corner, wherever the ball is in the field. But anytime that Cooper Kupp lined up with Odell, this is when, in my film breakdown, when we was watching him, he always ran the option, and Odell always ran the in-breaking route almost 100% of the time. Anytime he came on a jet sweep, go ahead.
I'll say, is that a stack alignment or just on the same side?
That's a stack alignment. They're already in the stack alignment. Odell is on the ball, and Cooper Kupp is off the ball. Anytime, you know, they run this a couple different ways. anytime they motion, so anytime they play action with Cooper, because they like to do this a lot with Cooper Kupp. They like to bring him down in that snug alignment to where he's like in a dirty split, but right behind the tackle or the tight end. Anytime they give a play action away from him, it's a play action. That means he's going to run like they run like a naked boot, or he's running like that over route. Anytime action is to him, it's a running play because he's their best blocking receiver.
No question.
You know,
no
so question. Those are some of the things that you can look up as well. I mean, I don't have my notes in front of me, man. There's so many things that I have written down that, you know, I can just blabber off of. But those are just some of the things that I can remember just vividly, just off the top of my head.
Well, Coach Pat P breaking this down, schooling us a little bit, also giving you guys some things to look for when you watch the game Sunday, because the same routes that he just talked about, you better believe they will be ran. Oh, they're running those plays. They always have go-to plays. It's like when you play Madden, right? When you play the video game, you got go-to plays. It don't matter how many times you run that play. When you need to go get something, guess what? You're going to go to the go-to plays. And Pat P know all about that, because I used to run a lot of go-to plays on Pat P Madden.
Go-to play in the red zone is definitely that seven route.
Oh, that seven cut is coming.
Man, hey, that's coming. Yeah.
You kind of saw that it was almost a wheel option we saw in the highlight when he ran on Williams to San Francisco. But Cooper Kupp is a guy.
That was like that pick wheel I was talking about.
That pick wheel. Yeah. They do a great job. You said something that was so important regarding the Rams. They do a great job in scheming guys open just based on scheme alone. You know what I mean? And then when you factor in the athleticism that those guys have, good luck in trying to be successful. So great, great breakdown from Pat P, a guy who's a student of the game. Hopefully you guys get a chance to kind of, you know, get your Tony Romo on Sunday when you see a certain formation, be like, yo, Pat P told us they're going to run X, Y, and Z. Let's see if it happens. But we get ready to toss to break, and when we come back, we will be discussing one of the most important moments in Super Bowl history. Next.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road, any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to All Things Covered, coming to you live on CBS Sports HQ. First time checking us out, you can follow our podcast anywhere where podcasts are found. And we also are on YouTube. Just visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. We're in the fourth quarter part of our show. We just did a great job highlighting the upcoming matchup in the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 56 to be exact, between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams. But before we get up out of here, it is February. It's time to celebrate special NFL moments, you know, regarding Black History Month here for all of us. And let me throw out a date to you guys and Pat P. January 31st, 1988. Pat P, 1988, how old were you?
I wasn't even thought of.
You weren't born yet?
I was born in 90, Cap.
Oh, you were born in 90. Dang. So in 88, I was 7.
Well, I was but this, about I think we seven. Talked about this last time, but this is that Super Bowl that my grandma talked about.
Yes, sir. Your grandma, my aunt Margaret. You mentioned this last time, talking about how fired up she was. But let me guys break it down to you who might not know what I'm talking about. That was the date of Super Bowl 22 between Washington and the Denver Broncos. Why that moment was so big, and not just sports history, but in African-American history. Doug Williams became the first Black quarterback to start a Super Bowl and first to win a Super Bowl. Broncos entered that ball game as 3.5-point favorites. Washington won 42-10. Doug Williams had a big-time ball game. 340 yards, four touchdowns. He won Super Bowl MVP. Williams only started two games during the 1987 season, but started all three playoff games and caught fire. Caught fire. For me, that moment was significant because as a child at being 6-7 years old, Pat P., I didn't know how huge it was for a black man to start at the quarterback position in the Super Bowl and to also win. It wasn't until I became older that I realized how significant that moment was. For me, I was just watching football, and I was a Giants fan growing up. So seeing Washington win that ball game, it didn't sit well with me because I didn't like anything Washington related because I was a Giants fan. You know what I mean?
Right.
But as time, you know, went on and I understood how monumental that moment was, I was a fan of Doug Williams, and I'm still a fan of Doug Williams because he was a trendsetter. He was a guy that was able to do something that many people thought would never be done. And playing in the Super Bowl at the quarterback position started, and they won, and he won MVP. And you talked about your grandma, how excited she was. Of course, you wasn't born then, but, you know, knowing some things that she saw happen throughout her life watching football. Later in life, you saw two black coaches that we highlighted last week in Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy coach their Super Bowl. So seeing, you know, things that we saw in years past and now current day, you know, when you look at a moment like that, granted you weren't born then, you know, how special was that? And of course, seeing where we're trying to go at the quarterback position now in the National Football League.
Yeah, I think it was big. You know, I think that was a big moment, you know, just for the African-American community, just to show, you know, that, you know, blacks can be, you know, a face of a multi-million, you know, company. You know, a black can be just as successful at the quarterback position, you know, as their other kind of partners, you know. So it was great to see, well, not see it, because obviously I didn't see it, but it's great that Doug was able to, you know, kick down the door, you know, for, you know, just not only African-American, you know, quarterbacks, but just, you know, for the African-American community as well, because I feel like once he did that, it gave us more hope. You know, it gave us a little extra that saying that we can do it. We can be, you know, we can achieve, you know, whatever that we put our mind to. So just the excitement that my grandma used to get so excited any and every time, you know, she saw, you know, African-American quarterback, you know, in the NFL on TV. And she always just relate back to the moment when Doug Williams, you know, won the Super Bowl and how she watched it and this, that, and other. So that was huge that, you know, Doug was able to not only, because like you noted that he only started two games during that season and started all caught fire in the playoff games, sound like a little Nick Foles-ish to me. But he got hot at the right time, and you know those guys came out on top.
Yeah,
in the Super Bowl, the unthinkable.
No question. I don't know exactly at that time in '87 how many starting quarterbacks were black, but clearly it wasn't a lot. And you know, once upon a time, that wasn't a thing. It's a little more normal now. And then you look at where we are when it comes to black quarterbacks in the National Football League. Primary starting quarterbacks in 2021, you had Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Teddy Bridgewater, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, and Kyler Murray. So we're in a better place when you look at the acceptance in black quarterbacks in the National Football League and how they're viewed. You know, where do you see this position going when it comes to, you know, more African-Americans getting an opportunity to play the quarterback position and excel at it?
I think it's getting better because, you know, you're starting to see more, you know, African-American quarterbacks on the college level. And I think that's where it starts, you know, on the college level. And I believe the more and more you see on the college level, the more and more you're going to see on the NFL level. You know, if you can play and you have the talent, you have the arm strength, you have, you know, the IQ of an elite quarterback, you know, I think you'll find a spot in the big leagues, you know. So I just think, but for us, you know, I just think we have to, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, we're on our P's and Q's at all times. Being able to do something that's going to separate us from that stereotype or being an athletic quarterback that can only use his legs. You know, do extra on working on your accuracy. Do better on working on your ball delivery. So that cannot be an excuse. And so,
they said that about Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Yeah, he said he should you know, switch positions and play wide receivers.
Right in or something like that.
Yeah.
Man, well, MVP as a quarterback.
Yes, league MVP and still considered one of the best to do it in the National Football League. Yeah. But one thing about playing quarterback, I can say this, is like cornerbacks. You got to have thick skin. Yeah. You will be hit with a lot of criticism, regardless of what color you are. If you don't go out there and get the job done, you know they're going to come down on you. So make sure you're prepared to have thick skin. But it's okay to go out there. What'd you say, Pat P?
Because you're the CEO of the players. So, I mean, you're the voice of the players for the most part. So you're going to get all of the, you know, the riffraff from the media or, you know, from the fans or wherever it may come from. You're going to get the heat of that. But like you said, you have to be able to have a short memory and being able to stay true to yourself, stay as true to yourself and stand dedicated to the game to see more positive and better outcome.
No doubt, no doubt, no doubt. Well, shout out to Doug Williams and shout out to all the trendsetters that are kicking down doors for other people to follow, doing a tremendous job. And shout out to you guys for checking us out here live on CBS Sports HQ. All things covered. We'll be back with you guys on Friday. And get this, my guy Pat P will be here with me live in color. So make sure you guys tune in on Friday. We will have another dynamic show for you guys. And for all you guys that have watched us today and have been following us throughout the entire season, we appreciate you. And we got many big things left for you guys coming up the rest of the week. Super Bowl 56 coming to you live, LA. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, B-Mac. See you soon.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.